It's crunch time for Britain's Prime Minister as she seeks support for a draft deal on Brexit. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivienne Nunis. Good morning. After months of negotiations, Theresa May has finally reached agreement with Brussels and come up with a draft plan for how the UK will leave the European Union. She now needs her senior ministers to support the deal. She'll meet with them in London this afternoon. Some Brexit supporters have expressed concerns the plan doesn't give the UK enough autonomy. The BBC's Brussels correspondent is Adam Fleming.
This is a big moment in the Brexit process, but that's a long process that has lots of other big moments still to come. What is happening today is that the EU and the UK negotiating teams think they have effectively finalised the treaty that will seal the UK's divorce terms as it leaves the European Union. It's called the withdrawal agreement. What's happening now is it's being sent from Brussels to London, and the British cabinet are reading the document and coming to a judgment about whether they can sign up to it. There's speculation that some ministers may resign, but equally there's a sense that so high are the stakes that ministers will be prepared to accept the compromises that have been made, and the Brexit talks will clear a big, big hurdle and get a step closer to completion.
And if the Prime Minister does manage to win approval for this plan from her cabinet ministers, where do we go from here?
Then the action will move back to Brussels, because the 27 other countries who are staying in the EU don't really know a lot about what's been negotiated in their name by their negotiators. So they will now be going through this 500-page document to make sure that they are happy with it. Then there'll be a whole series of other meetings, whether it's advisors, civil servants, prime ministerial advisors, ambassadors, ministers, preparing the ground for a meeting of all 28 EU leaders where they will sign off this whole package. And remember, this package includes the divorce treaty, so the terms of the UK's exit, but also a separate document that will sketch out in very broad terms what the future relationship will look like on trade, security, universities, everything for the decades to come. And all of that stuff, the real, genuine future relationship, will have to be negotiated over the next couple of years.
Adam Fleming. Germany's economy has shrunk for the first time since 2015. In the latest quarter, output declined by 0.2%. According to economist Timo Klein at Global Insights in Frankfurt, it's mainly down to regulatory changes in the automotive sector.
In the car industry, they introduced a new emission test procedure at the beginning of September. And these tests simply takes a lot of time. They have to be done car model by car model, which means that the manufacturers had to wind down production or to cut back in production because they simply cannot sell the cars before they have been certified, and there would be enough space to park them. So basically they were forced to temporarily cut back production, and this will be more or less unwound in the fourth quarter and in the first quarter of 2019. So this is, I think, the main factor. I think this is probably worth about 0.3 percentage points of the quarterly change.
Economist Timo Klein. Let's do the numbers. News of the German economy contracting caused European shares to fall. The pound has enjoyed a lift on the positive news that a Brexit deal is closer to being reached. Asian shares were generally lower due to slowing consumer spending. The World Chess Championship is currently underway in London. American Fabiano Caruana is taking on the reigning world champion Magnus Carlsen of Norway. So far, the first four matches have ended in a draw. But it's not just strategy that's under the microscope, it's gender equality too. The total prize pool for this tournament is more than $1.1 million. But in the women's event, currently underway in Russia, the prize pool is just a quarter of that. So why the yawning disparity in a sport that relies on brains, not brawn? AJ Stegman was a chess master by the age of 13 and represented the US in a number of international competitions.
I think it's an historical cultural reason. Decades ago, sometimes women were either not allowed to play or it was not encouraged to play chess. The more corporate sponsorships, the more acknowledgement of the game, the more recognition, the more fan base behind it, it will kind of be a rising tide of both male and female world championship sponsorships. Chess, you know, has been around for quite a long time. It's an exceptionally regal game. And if you look at the prize funds for both men or women, it's kind of paltry compared to other sports out there.
He says more sponsorship needs to come from countries in the West.
The countries that respect it are the ones that are basically supporting it on the financial end. In the 1990s, a lot of the American technology companies, IBM or Intel, were sponsoring a lot of the tournaments. Now you have a tremendous amount of Russian businessmen who are sponsoring the world championships. And I think that, you know, Russia has always had a pride of associating their champions with chess, and that's clearly evident of them basically holding down the majority of the sponsorships in the game. I think that with technology, the usage from users playing online have clearly gone up quite a lot. And I just feel that there needs to be a catch-up almost, you know, in the recognition of the regalness of the game.
Chess expert AJ Stiegman. And finally, jewels belonging to the ill-fated French queen Marie Antoinette are being auctioned in Geneva today. The booty includes a diamond and pearl pendant expected to fetch up to $2 million. Marie Antoinette smuggled the jewels to family in Austria before she was executed in the French Revolution. In London, I'm Vivienne Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.